AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a special election for the state assembly today in Milwaukee's northern suburbs. Terry Bell reports.
The 24th Assembly District seat has been vacant since former Representative Dan Knodel was elected to the state Senate last November. The candidates are Republican Paul Melotic and Democrat Bob Tatterson. Melotic lives in Grafton and has served on the Ozaukee County Board for 11 years. Tatterson is a retired engineer who lives in Mequon. The 24th includes parts of Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha counties. Those are the WOW counties, which have been reliably safe for Republicans. But Tatterson was beating Melotic in fundraising 3-1. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin is sitting on a $4 billion surplus now that the two-year budget battle is over. That's enough money for Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers to consider more tax cuts. Evers said to reporters in Montello yesterday he'd prefer a tax cut to a rebate.
People don't know, they don't recognize rebates that well. You have to apply for it on your tax form. You get, and you never see the money, frankly. And I would prefer getting a tax cut.
Evers said he's willing to consider a new Republican tax cut if it helps the middle class. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is paying himself back hundreds of thousands of dollars for loans he made to his past campaigns. Johnson's latest filing with the Federal Elections Commission shows he got $400,000 from his campaign account in May. There's nothing illegal about it, but the Journal Sentinel reports Johnson claimed that he wouldn't try to get that money back from campaign donations. That was 2 weeks after he started to recoup the money. A judge is ordering the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission to testify in a lawsuit in Kenosha. Stuart J. Wattles reports.
Megan Wolf is associated with two voter integrity lawsuits in Kenosha County. She'll be questioned in a case brought by a Pleasant Prairie man regarding the legality of the My Vote website and third-party absentee ballot applications. Plaintiff Jay Stone successfully argued for Wolf to be questioned, despite the state's attempt to prevent her from speaking. A trial is scheduled for January. Stuart J. Wattles, Civic Media News.
Along with the Kenosha lawsuits surrounding the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the top election officials in the state's two largest cities have confirmed they have sat down with federal investigators in recent months. Madison officials confirmed yesterday the FBI interviewed the city's clerk surrounding the 2020 election earlier this summer. Hundreds of residents in the town of Campbell in western Wisconsin are suing the city of La Crosse surrounding PFAS or forever chemicals in the community. The lawsuit is requesting more than $40 million the residents claim in diminished property value. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. One person is dead after a motorcycle crash in Sawyer County Sunday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the 53-year-old Ladysmith man was driving east on Highway 48 about a mile west of Exelon when he lost control of his motorcycle and crashed in the ditch. Officials don't know when the crash happened or what led to the crash, but said in a release they are still investigating. While no one won the Powerball jackpot in Saturday's drawing, one lucky winner in Chippewa Falls is $100,000 richer thanks to matching four of the five numbers and the Powerball. The winning ticket was sold at a Senex gas station. The jackpot for last night's drawing was estimated to be over $900 million. And tonight, the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors will elect a new board chair. Former Chair Nick Smyra was voted out last week over the handling of the investigation into the county's health department, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. The new chair will serve until the next election of board officers after next spring's election. From the Civic Media News Desk here in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers are in Philadelphia. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Phillies, first pitch at 5:40. The Phillies have about the same record as Milwaukee, but they're 10 games behind the dominating Atlanta Braves in the NL East. It's Julio Teheran tonight against the Phillies' Aaron Nola. Milwaukee remains with a two-game lead in the NL Central. The Reds and the Giants game suspended last night due to rain in Cincinnati. Craig Counsell on what he sees for his bullpen on the second half of the season.
I mean, I think we're going to need somebody else to step up from, you know, we get this group of five that's been here all year. All five of them have had really nice seasons. We're definitely going to need, you know, somebody else in that group. But that's, you know, I'm asking for a lot, I understand. But we do have a pretty good, you know, idea what we want to do down there right now, and guys' roles are you know, very well defined.
I asked Christian Yelich if he's okay where the Brewers have been in the standings.
Yeah, you just want to be in a position that you're in it down the stretch. You know, we're still a few months out from September, but, you know, going into the last month of the season, you want to be within striking distance and feel like you have a chance at making a run at the postseason. And you work hard all year as a team to put yourself in a position to succeed and play meaningful games at the end of the year. And, you know, we still have a lot of work to do in order to have that happen. But overall, it was kind of a up and down first half for us. We dealt with a lot as a team. I definitely think there's room for improvement in a lot of areas, but we put ourselves in a position to be within striking distance, to be close, and hopefully have a good second half.
Cubs lost last night at home to the Nationals 7-5. NFL Packers nose tackle Kenny Clark on CBS Sports Radio was asked, now that Aaron Rodgers is gone, are the Packers getting less respect as a possible playoff team?
Yeah, 100%, but that's cool. I like it that way.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Daniels here, Steve Daniels show on a Tuesday morning, and we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but I think you can hear me, right, Aaron? Can you hear me? Yeah, yes.
Yes, I can.
It sounds like, the technical difficulties might have been fixed. Sounding more normal now. All right, well, that's good news, man. We are in our new studios at the worldwide headquarters of Civic Radio now, or Civic Media, down in Madison, and we're still working out a few bugs, but I think that bug is gone now, so that's good news. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning. It's the 18th of July. You can hear this show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. most days. Had to take off yesterday for that big move into the new studios. And by the way, if you want to join us on the phone, feel free. The number is 715-388-7155. Should be a nice day outside in most areas of Wisconsin. The smoke is clearing out, which is good news, and should see sunshine today in most areas. Now, La Crosse, high around 80 degrees. Mostly sunny in Eau Claire today, high around 81. Up in Hayward, partly sunny with a high around 78. And in Richland Center, sunshine with a high of 81 degrees expected. Looking into the news section today, what's going on in the news, Stu Man? Well, let me tell you. The FBI has interviewed the top election official in Madison about Donald Trump's attempt to subvert the election outcome. And multimillionaire Ron Johnson has pocketed $400,000 from his donors for old campaign loans, despite saying he wouldn't do so. Also, there's a special election today for a vacant Wisconsin Assembly seat. It's the 24th Assembly District, which is located in the suburban Milwaukee area. And Republican lawmakers in Madison have introduced a bill that would require watermarks on absentee ballots. But election clerks around the state say the measure could create more problems while solving none. And in sports, the Brewers were off yesterday. They start a three-game series against the Phillies tonight in Philadelphia. Both teams have short winning streaks on the line. The Phillies have won three games in a row. The Brewers have won four in a row. And the Crew are now two games ahead of the Reds in the Central Division. And I tell you, the first thing I want to look at here is, well, let me ask you this, listener. Are you a fan of Ron Johnson? Is he your guy? Did you vote for Ron Johnson? And if you did, if you are a supporter of Mr. Johnson's, have you ever contributed to his campaigns, given him money? Well, you know, he is a multimillionaire, right? Well, if you have contributed to Ron Johnson's campaigns in the past, and it should be noted that when he first ran for senator, he said he wanted to run for just one term. He wanted to be a citizen legislator. But then, of course, after that first term was near the end, he said, well, I'm going to run again. And people were like, well, I thought you said you're only going to run for one term. Well, then after he ran for the second term and won, he said, that's it. I'm only going to do these two terms and then I'm out. Well, then you know what happened then, right? He changed his mind again and said that he's going to run for a third term. Well, this headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says that Ron Johnson pockets $400,000 from donors for old campaign loans, despite saying he wouldn't do so. So if Ron Johnson has gone back on his word that many times, would you say that you can trust him? And would you contribute again to his campaign? I don't know. He says he's not going to run again, right? But who knows? It says here that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is paying himself back hundreds of thousands of dollars for loans he made to his prior Senate campaigns, despite claiming he wouldn't seek to recoup the money from donors. The multimillionaire Oshkosh Republican received $400,000 from his campaign account in early May, according to his latest filing with the Federal Elections Commission. The payments were made in two installments of $150,000 each and two more of $60,000 and $40,000, all of them on May 3rd, for loans from his successful 2010 and 2016 elections. The repayments are legal. In May of 2022, the Supreme Court ruled in its Ted Cruz versus FEC decision that federal candidates are entitled to use an unlimited amount of cash raised after an election to repay loans that they had previously made to their campaign. Now, if this guy's a multimillionaire, why does he need to take money back from his campaign donors, from the public who may have made small donations or $25 or $30? Makes me scratch my head. Anyway, this story goes on and says federal lawmakers had previously placed a $250,000 cap on the amount of money that candidates could raise after their election to repay old campaign loans, but then they went back on that and said, well, you can take as much money as you want. Johnson, a former plastics executive, previously said that he wouldn't seek to repay the $8.4 million in outstanding loans he claimed his campaign owes him for loans in his 2010 and 2016 campaigns. Quote, I don't have any expectation to get paid back, Johnson told Insider Inc. on May 17th when asked about a comment on his financial disclosure form that noted, quote, all funds to prior campaigns have been deemed loans and suitable for repayment, end quote. In fact, Johnson had begun to recoup some of those loans 2 weeks before he made the remarks to the Insider. He had already started to pay himself back when he made that comment. That's according to the latest FEC report released this past Saturday. A Johnson advisor in a statement to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Monday said only, quote, the $400,000 payment is primarily against pre-Cruz ruling loans. The senator has little expectation that the full loans will be repaid. Last week, Johnson sent out multiple emails saying he needed to raise money to pay off old debts. Quote, I'll get straight to the point. Even though we won, my campaign had to take on some debt, Johnson wrote in one of the solicitations. I was hoping I could convince you to chip in now to help me pay off this debt. Chip in now to help me, the multi-billionaire to your multi-millionaire, to pay off this debt. I don't know. It makes you wonder, especially if you're a contributor to his campaign, is that money well spent? Anyway, we got 16 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. I'm going to take a break in a minute. I think we're going to go to Aaron. Do you have that Rolling Stones song ready before you start it? Is it ready? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Good news. Hey, I wanted to mention this. It was on this date back in 1964 that the Rolling Stones scored their first American hit, cover of a Buddy Holly tune. But I also wanted to mention that this song was the very last song that Dead & Company played at their very last concert on Sunday night in the San Francisco area. So let's go ahead and play the Stones version, a hit from 1964. Air it in tune to the Stu Daniels Show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mm-hmm.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today. Daytime highs approaching 79. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Slight chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 57. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 84. Upper 70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Low 80s Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 58.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Show 23 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Tuesday morning, and there we have the Grateful Dead doing the old Buddy Holly tune, Not Fade Away, a song that they would often end a show with, or at least end the second set with. And there are some remarkable versions of that song available on YouTube and elsewhere, where the band would play that song as the final song of the second set, then leave the stage for the encore. And while they were gone, the audience would continue singing the song. And then when the band came back, there were at least a few times, including one time at Alpine Valley, where they would go back into the song with the audience. So the band
would start performing with the audience, and the audience would be singing the song. Those were the good old days. And it sounds like something similar may have happened on Sunday night out in San Francisco when the most current iteration of the Grateful Dead, known as Dead in Company, wrapped things up after, what, about 8 years or so of touring, performing with John Mayer on guitar. And it's hard to imagine that it's over. Is it really over? Anyway, let's get back into the show. I want to give you some more of these news headlines that are breaking today. And this is a strange thing. These Republican lawmakers in Madison have introduced a bill to add watermarks to absentee ballots. And clerks, election clerks, say it would cause problems. It would cause more problems than it would fix. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill that would require watermarks on absentee ballots, but election clerks say the measure could create more problems while solving none. And it says here the measure, written by Representative Scott Allen, Republican from Waukesha, and Senator Romaine Quinn, Republican from Cameron, would require absentee ballots that are mailed to voters to, quote, contain a watermark that identifies the ballot as an official absentee ballot. To help curb public distrust in absentee ballots, it is certainly worth the additional cost to make our absentee ballots secure and restore trust in our election process, Allen said. In response to former President Donald Trump's false claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election, Republicans have focused on absentee ballot security in past legislative sessions. Multiple election reviews, including one by a conservative group, have proven that voter fraud is exceptionally rare. Okay, so there's really no problem. There is no problem with absentee ballots, despite what you may hear on some conservative radio stations. And so there's really no problem that they're trying to fix. Many of the past Republican proposals, such as a bill to limit who can return an absentee ballot on behalf of a voter, never received a full vote in one chamber or the other. A spokesman for the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which provides guidance to clerks across the state, did not respond to a request for comment on the bill. Diane Conan, the clerk for the city of Oconomowoc and the chairwoman of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association, said the organization does not support the bill. Quote, we do not see a problem that needs to be fixed, nor do we see anything substantive that a watermark will fix, Conan said. The legislation to us is really addressing what we see as mistrust in some people's minds, end quote. 28 minutes after 8 o'clock, you're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show. Going to take a quick break. Stick around.
Get there, Stu, boy. Going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad. Going down the road feeling bad, and I ain't going to be treated this way. Oh, lady, lady, oh, lady, 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 oh, lady, lady, oh, lady, lady, lady.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. The western and southern heat wave that's brought stifling triple-digit temperatures for days is expected to linger. Phoenix could see its 19th day at or above 110 degrees. Other cities and states sweltering, too.
Somewhere like El Paso, that has seen a consecutive 100-plus for 32 days,
that smashes their old record, and they'll keep smashing it day after day.
ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z. A procedural hearing today between lawyers for former President Trump and the special counsel who indicted him for allegedly mishandling classified documents. Both sides arguing before a federal judge how secret records could be shared in this case. Trump is facing 37 felony charges. Mayhem overnight in New York City's Times Square. Police are searching for a suspect involved in a shooting that injured three teenage boys. All are in stable conditions. Officials say they were part of a group that got into an argument with the suspect who pulled out a gun. This is ABC News.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. One person is dead after a motorcycle crash in Sawyer County Sunday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the 53-year-old Ladysmith man was driving east on Highway 48 about a mile west of Exelon when he lost control of his motorcycle and crashed in the ditch. Officials don't know when the crash happened or what led to the crash, but said in a release they are still investigating. While no one won the Powerball jackpot in Saturday's drawing, one lucky winner in Chippewa Falls is $100,000 richer thanks to matching four of the five numbers and the Powerball. The winning ticket was sold at a Senex gas station. The jackpot for last night's drawing was estimated to be over $900 million. And tonight, the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors will elect a new board chair. Former Chair Nick Smyra was voted out last week over the handling of the investigation into the county's health department, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. The new chair will serve until the next election of board officers after next spring's election. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I was born a rambling man.
Allman Brothers music for you on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And we've got 62 degrees right now in La Crosse. Looking for a high today around 80. And it's also 62 degrees in Hayward. Looking for a high today around 78 degrees. And 8:34 is the time right now. And it seems like it's been a pretty nice summer for most of us here in Wisconsin, despite the smoke in the air occasionally. But many places of the United States, and not just the U.S., but around the world, are experiencing extreme heat, sweltering in record-breaking temperatures for record-breaking numbers of days. This headline here from the New York Times says the world is sweltering in record-breaking heat, and much of the northern hemisphere is experiencing withering high temperatures, which scientists warn are increasingly likely. Here's what to know about the heat around the world. And this was just updated 24 minutes ago from the New York Times. It says, less than 2 weeks after the Earth recorded what scientists said were likely its hottest days in modern history, punishing heat waves are gripping much of the northern hemisphere. The record-breaking temperatures are being driven by emissions of heat-trapping gases, mainly caused by the burning of fossil fuels and by the return of El Niño, a cyclical weather pattern. A heat wave is gripping parts of Europe, with record-breaking highs expected in places like Italy and Spain. Dry conditions have also increased the risk of wildfires, which have broken out in Greece and on the Spanish-controlled La Palma, one of the Canary Islands. In Asia, John Kerry, President Biden's special envoy for climate change, met with China's premier in Beijing on Tuesday to discuss cooperation on slowing global warming as a withering heat wave grips the country, China. Tuesday was the 27th day this year that Beijing has recorded temperatures above 95 degrees Fahrenheit. That is a record. And in the United States, Phoenix is expected to break a 49-year-old record on Tuesday, with the city's 19th consecutive day of temperatures above 110 degrees. Elsewhere around the country, hot and humid conditions were expected to worsen along the Gulf Coast and throughout the Southeast, according to the National Weather Service. The planet has warmed about 2 degrees Fahrenheit since the 19th century and will continue to grow hotter until humans essentially stop burning oil, gas, and coal, scientists say. The warmer temperatures contribute to extreme weather events and help make periods of extreme heat more frequent, longer, and more intense. Sounds like it may get worse before it gets better. 8:38 right now. The next thing I want to cover is the latest in the story from Georgia about the former president. Headline from USA Today says, Georgia court rejects Trump request to bar the state from prosecuting him over election dealings. And this was just updated about 45 minutes ago. It says, Georgia's Supreme Court on Monday rejected a request from former President Donald Trump to prevent officials from prosecuting him over his efforts to overturn his loss in the state's 2020 presidential election tally. The court, in a unanimous order, refused a push from Trump's attorneys filed last week, that called on the court to act in the case. The attorneys argued a special grand jury report should be discarded, and that Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis should be halted from seeking charges. Willis began investigating after Trump called Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger in January of 2021 to plead with him to find the votes he needed to win that state. Trump tried to call him more than a dozen times, and the official avoided taking the calls, according to an investigation by the House of Representatives. The district attorney has suggested she may seek charges in the case. A grand jury convened on the matter in August. The state Supreme Court, in its ruling this week, said Trump's filing didn't have, quote, the facts or the law necessary to mandate Willis's disqualification by this court at this time on this record, end quote. The court also found the push from Trump's attorneys didn't prove his constitutional rights were violated, and a Georgia judge earlier this year released parts of a grand jury report into Trump's efforts, with the 23-member panel concluding that there wasn't widespread election fraud during Georgia's 2020 presidential election. 23-member panel concluded there was not widespread election fraud during the 2020 presidential election in Georgia. Trump's attorneys in March in Fulton County Superior Court asked Judge Robert McBurney, who oversaw a special grand jury in the case, to allow another judge to hear Trump's arguments. The judge did not step aside, but he has not yet ruled. Trump is already facing trials over hush money allegations in New York State and claims he mishandled classified documents in Florida. There's another ongoing investigation in Washington over efforts to block Congress from certifying President Joe Biden's election in the Electoral College. Are they ever going to give up on that, or are they just going to keep? I think they're just going to keep trying to reverse the 2020 election. No reason to stop now, right? By the way, Aaron, can you hear me right now?
I'm sure can.
My producer. Oh, good. I can hear you too. Hey, have you ever, you drink beer, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a Carlsberg beer or a Carlsberg elephant beer?
I don't think I have. I don't think I'm familiar with that.
Carlsberg, yeah. When I was in college, we used to drink Carlsberg elephants. They were high in alcohol content, and they came in giant cans. And one of those cans would take care of you for most of the night. But the reason I'm asking you about this is because Carlsberg is a big brewery, and they sell their beers around the world. And by the way, you've heard of Dannon Yogurt, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Dannon and Carlsberg, these two companies, have had their assets seized in Russia. And so what does this mean? I have a story here from CNN that says Russia seizes control of Dannon and Carlsberg assets. And this was posted yesterday, Dateline London and Atlanta. It says Moscow has seized control of the Russian subsidiaries of French yogurt maker Dannon and Danish brewer Carlsberg, highlighting risks facing foreign firms that continue to do business in the country. In a decree signed by Russian President Vladimir Putin on Sunday, foreign-owned stakes in Dannon's Russia business and Carlsberg's stake in local brewer called Baltica were put under the temporary management of Russia's Federal Property Agency. That decision follows a decree Putin signed in April that allows the government to place foreign assets in the country under its temporary control if Russian assets abroad are seized or threatened. So it's more like retribution is what it sounds like. The government is allowed to place foreign assets in the country under its temporary control if Russian assets abroad are seized or threatened. And at the time, the Russian government took control of utilities owned by German energy company Uniper and Finland's Fortum Oyj, not sure what kind of a company that is. This latest move could increase the pressure on Western firms, which already face intense criticism for remaining in Russia, to leave the country. More than 1,000 companies have already exited Russia in the months following Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine last year. But a number of businesses, including Heineken and Nestle, Unilever and Mondelez, which is the company that took over a lot of the Nabisco products, these businesses have, for various reasons, kept a presence in the country. Companies still in the process of leaving Russia may now feel a fresh sense of urgency to do so. Carlsberg, the brewery from, it's a Danish brewery, said in a statement Sunday that the development was unexpected and that the prospects for the sale of Baltica breweries were now highly uncertain. The Danish company had agreed to a deal late last month to sell the business, subject to regulatory approvals. Baltica is one of the largest consumer goods companies in Russia. It employs 8,400 people, according to Carlsberg's website. And Danone, the yogurt maker, is also in the process of selling its Russian business. It said previously that the deal could result in a $1.1 billion hit to the value of the asset. The company said in a statement Sunday that it was investigating the situation and did not expect it to impact its earlier guidance on this year's earnings. Danone, this is a quote from the company, it says, Danone is preparing to take all necessary measures to protect its rights as shareholder of Danone Russia and the continuity of the operations of the business in the interest of all stakeholders, in particular, its employees. So you see, that's what happens in authoritarian countries. Businesses can just be seized by the authoritarian leader. Sometimes.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
shoes.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. Daytime highs approaching 79. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight, 57. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 84, partly cloudy. Upper 70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Warmer Friday with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 58.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Having some slight technical difficulties, but hopefully it's not affecting the way the radio show sounds. And we got 8:51, almost 8:52 right now. One thing I wanted to talk about this morning was the banning of overnight camping in all city parks in La Crosse. Okay, this is La Crosse Common Council voted to ban overnight camping in all city parks. Now, you might be thinking, why would anybody want to camp in a city park? You're not supposed to be camping out all night in a city park. Well, some people don't have any place else to go. You know, some people are without a home. They don't have a house. So that may be their only choice. This was originally posted on July 14th and updated on July 17th from News 8000. It says here, for many people in La Crosse, last night's decision brought a sigh of relief, and for others, it signaled tougher times for folks caught between a rock and a hard place. The ordinance changes the way police enforce camping on city property, primarily in parks. While sleeping overnight on public property has always been illegal, officers could only enforce the law if signs were present announcing the rule. Since camping at Huska Park was banned earlier this year, many of the city's homeless have found their way to other parks and even public parking ramps. Enforcement of the new ordinance could begin as soon as today, and where the city's homeless population goes after that is anybody's guess. But the folks we talked to today say there's no one-size-fits-all answer to such a complex problem. Homeless people we talk to say even if they're forced to leave the city's park, the problem of homelessness isn't going away. Shelters in the area are at capacity. So now what do you do? People have no place to go, no place to live. They just want to camp out in the park. Is that too much to ask? Well, it could get out of control, right? We've seen that in other places around the state. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of fix La Crosse comes up with. Hey, Aaron, let me ask you a question. Were you ever able to, I know you're quite a bit younger than me, but did you ever get to watch the Little Rascals or the R Gang comedies back in the day?
Yeah, I saw Little Rascals. I didn't see R Gang, if that's a different thing, but I saw Little Rascals.
Yeah. It's the same thing, more or less. They were originally the R Gang comedies back in the 1920s and 30s. And then eventually they started calling them the Little Rascals, especially when they syndicated them for television in the 50s and 60s and 70s. But I don't know if you ever saw the episode of the Little Rascals, but in one of the episodes they had soapbox derby cars, or cars they'd make out of wood and they had to race down the hill. You don't remember watching that, do you?
That sounds familiar, actually. I don't remember it very well. It's been a long time, but I think I did see that.
Yeah, I think it was Alfalfa and Spanky had a car, and then Butch, the bad guy, had a car. And, of course, Darla was rooting for Spanky and Alfalfa. I think Alfalfa was the one driving the soapbox derby car. But the reason why I ask you about this is there's a guy in Madison. He's, it says, lifetime Madison resident, is going to be inducted into the Soapbox Derby Hall of Fame. And I should mention that I personally grew up in Akron, Ohio, which is the home of the Soapbox Derby. It's where the big championship, the All-American Soapbox Derby, happens every year. Kids from all around the world come or go to Akron, Ohio, and try to win this race where they get in these little cars that they've made and head down a big hill. So this guy in Madison, his name is John Peter Fedele, or Fedele, known as JP. He's been working on soapbox derby races for about over 40 years, it says here. And he's going to be inducted into the Soapbox Derby Hall of Fame, which I do believe is going on this week in Ohio. And it says here, when he was a boy, John Peter Fedele, known as JP, would take wood from used A&P fruit crates, nail it to wheels, and with the help of his mother's clothesline for steering, careen with his neighborhood friends down a hill headed south on Fish Hatchery Road before ending up in a roadside ditch. Now, Fedele is 72 years old. He's a retired plumber who has spent more than 40 years being involved in youth soapbox derby races, building and repairing cars, coordinating competitions, and constructing ramps. He's going to be inducted into the Soapbox Derby Hall of Fame on Saturday in Akron, Ohio, where the annual World Championship race takes place. So congratulations to JP for being inducted into the Soapbox Derby Hall of Fame. Man, sounds like a fun thing to do, helping out kids put together these cars and race them. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
I ain't got no home, I'm just a rambling round. I work when I can get it, I roam from town to town. Police make it hard, boys, wherever I may go. I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I was farming shares and always I was young. My debts, they was so many, my pay wouldn't go around. Drought got my crop, Mr. Banker.
I ain't got no. Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy?
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm